I appreciate your prayers this morning, kind of a special. I feel like the Lord's been talking to us about a subject here. Glorify thy name is what I wrote on the board. And we want to examine a few scriptures over in John, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 23. It says here, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, I have to think that Jesus was dead to himself. I believe that Jesus was already fulfilling all that God had wanted him to fulfill. He had been going about doing good. He had been going about healing people's lives, their bodies, delivering people from sin, from evil, from disease. And, you know, I have to look at Jesus' life and say, it was amazing what was going on in Jesus' life. And yet Jesus spoke this of himself. And of course we know that he added some in there for us too as well, because it wasn't only talking about himself here. But Jesus said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, there was something more that God was calling for from Jesus' life. He had been here, as we have said already, doing God's will. But there was something more. There was something that was to change the whole world. And seemingly it would be the end of it all. And that was that Jesus would have to die. And so he said here, a very important thing for us to take in mind is that if a corn of wheat is not put into the ground and it dies, it won't bring forth, he says here, it abideth alone. You know what it means to just a piece off of a corn cob? If it abides alone, that's all it is. But he said, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. God was calling for something from Jesus that would defy all that everybody else around him could imagine. It destroyed their ability. It confused them. It brought into their minds, what's going to happen now? And yet, it was what God was calling for. And God allowed this, and not only allowed it, but he called for Jesus' life to be put in the grave. And from that, can you imagine what life would be like if the world had never known about Jesus? Can you imagine what it would be like if the whole earth was heathens and there was no Christian influence at all? Can you imagine what your life would be like? What would your life be like? You'd be a heathen. That's what you would be, because we weren't Jews, most of us here. We'd be heathens, wouldn't we? And we would do the things heathens do. We might be worshiping the sun. We might be killing one another. We would certainly be living in sin. And we would certainly be troubled in our lives. But because Jesus went into the grave, and because he allowed himself to be killed in a most terrible way, to be crucified, to be tormented before that time, and then to be planted that we might live. And so this morning I just want to look at some of these things I'm going to skip a couple verses and come back to them after a bit. Down to verse 27, Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I, but for this cause came I unto this hour." How am I going to say, "Father, save me from this hour," when I know this is what God brought me to? Father, glorify thy name. That's what came rolling out of Jesus. Father, glorify thy name. Do you know this morning the Lord wants glory out of our lives? He wants our lives to glorify Him. We will find ourselves following after the Lord and giving ourselves to the Lord. And yet, there may come times and will where the Lord will require a whole nother sacrifice. Do we ever die again? Is there ever a daily death? Is there ever something that God requires more? He did of Jesus, didn't He? Here Jesus was dying to Himself every day. And here He was living for the Father, living the life of God, giving those miracles to the people every day. And yet God saw something more. He saw that His death was necessary. You know, this morning, there's some things that God sees about us that's necessary too. I'm not really talking about physical, although it involves that this morning. But you know, the Lord is looking at you and me, and He wants to talk to us and bring us to some of those places too, where we see that death that we have to die. Well, I thought we already died that death. We already was sanctified. We already gave ourselves to God. I want to tell you, through life, God is going to require more. There's going to be time. But why does He require it? Why did He require this of Jesus? Wasn't there something that was so beneficial that He required it? The salvation of the world. The possibility for us to live above what the heathens of the world live like. The possibility for us to make it to heaven. And the Lord saw all those things. And Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it." I've already glorified my name. And we'll glorify it again. Even now, again. In a deeper way. More than, you know, if Jesus would have given His life up to this point and then said no, what would it be? What would we hear? What would we know of today? We would know in history that there was a man named Jesus back there that did a lot of miracles and things, but changed the world. All the things God wanted to do. We wouldn't hear of that, would we? You know, this morning, God wants to do some things in our lives, folks, that really glorify His name. He's not talking about lifting us up in a carnal way, but folks, He wants to work. He wants to work in our lives. He wants to be there in our lives. He wants to glorify His name. That comes through our death. That comes through the death of ourself this morning. Until then, we can't glorify His name like He wants to. And so, the people therefore that stood by heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to Him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." You know, this morning, the Lord wants to give us some things. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This He said, signifying what death He should die. Do you know this morning that defies our thoughts? But it was God's thoughts. It's the price God set for the sins of man to be reconciled to him. It was the price that he had set. And look at the fruit that came forth out of that seed. I want to look over in Luke 24. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Luke 24 and 17 to 21. And he said unto them, now these are those two brothers that's walking on the road to Emmaus. And don't we love this story? I love it when it says, didn't our heart burn as we talked along the way? What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now Jesus walked up on them. He says, what manner of communications are that you all are sad? What's going on? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Do you know everything they dreamed of? They plainly said, we trusted that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel. We just thought this is the way it was going to work. We just thought this was what was going to happen. He was a mighty prophet indeed. And we just thought God was going to work and deliver Israel through him. But their hopes were dashed, weren't they? Everything was crashed down before them. But the Lord, Jesus, had said, Father, glorify thy name. You know, and the Lord was glorified. I want to ask us this morning, have you been living for the Lord with all your heart? I hope you can say, yes, I have. All my heart and soul and mind and strength. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord may want to glorify himself a little more. He may require something more. And it may even dash our hopes. It may go against everything we thought. But do you know this morning that the Lord wants to glorify his name? When God calls for something more from us, or when he allows things into our lives, there's a death that we have to die to be willing to accept that. And Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, had to wrestle with that. And he asked God if there could not be another way. Is there some other way this can happen? You know, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And this morning, I just want to encourage us that God wants to work in our lives. And he wants to talk to you and me. And he wants to take us places we've not been before. And he wants to bring forth fruit that we've never had before in our life. Jesus had fruit. But nothing like what happened after his death. 3,000 souls in one day saved, and the whole earth began to be changed because of what happened. Do you know? We know we're not expecting to see things like that. But you know what? God wants to work in our life. And if we will die, and if we will let him glorify his name, he'll do things that we never thought he would do. He'll do things in our lives that we never expected to be done. We just saw the death that we had to die. As the song says, a death in which my soul did cry. And so this morning, let's look at these scriptures, realizing that God works in those ways. John 12 and 25 and 26 is another part of that passage we began with. And so when Jesus was speaking of this kernel, this corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying, he's really not talking about it just completely dying, because there's a seed of life in there. But he's talking about it giving up its identity. The hull around it was rotted off, and the life that was inside it began to live. And so when he is asking us to die to something, remember, he's not asking us to die in the sense that we are no more. Our life can be not good any. Our life can have no good in it anymore. There will be no more enjoyment. Folks, that's where life begins. Let's remember that's where life begins. That's where spiritual life begins. That's where the things of God, that the increase of God, it begins when we die to our own desires. We give up the form that we would have in our own life. That's what happens to that whole, the form that we are, who we are, what we protect, what we do. You know, the Lord calls for that many times. He always calls for that. But along the way, He'll call again. And He'll call again, and He'll call for deeper sacrifices. And here was Jesus. How could He call for more? How could He do more the will of God? Because there was something more that had not been done yet. And that is, He wanted Him to pay the ultimate price. And through that, all the seed that comes from that was to happen. In verse 25, he that loveth his life, now following that corn of wheat verse, he that loveth his life shall lose it. I want that to sink into our hearts this morning. If we love our life, Jesus said we're going to lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, meaning to love less, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Do you know this morning that we must be that way and let the Lord glorify Himself? Do we believe that God is going to just call us to die? To just simply be destroyed? That's not what this is talking about. This is speaking of giving ourselves to the Lord, losing our form and letting Him live. And folks, when we do that and God is glorified and we truly give ourselves to God, I want to tell you, God begins to work in our life and things begin to change. I have both glorified it, Jesus said, or God said, and will glorify it again. I want to encourage us this camp meeting. Most of us here go to Monarch Camp Meeting. The Lord is going to talk to every one of us there. I believe that. Now, whether we hear or not, we may not hear, but we can hear if we will, if we go with ears to hear. And I want to encourage us that during this meeting that we hear what the Lord calls for. And that we be willing to die. Because it is through that death, folks, that we live. It is through that death that the life of God begins to really work. I want to look at... I want to think a little more about all of that. Do you know that... Now, I read this. I looked this up to see. They say that one corn cob may have 600 kernels of corn on it. Just one cob. But it was only planted by one kernel. And there's more than one cob on a stalk, usually. And, you know, the increase there defies what we think, doesn't it? How can you put this little thing down and it rots away, but there's a little life down inside that kernel that begins to come forth? How does that happen? Folks, it's like that in our life. We sow our life, but we reap so much more. And so when God calls for something from you and me, when He talks to us, And I know that during a camp meeting like that, God is especially talking to us during that time. Now, all through the year, the Lord talks to us, doesn't He? He talks to us during our devotions, when we read the Word, when in the things of life. But I will tell you, there is a special time there when the Lord begins to truly He just pours out, it seems like. You know that all those talks, when the Lord pricks our heart, and we just throw it off and shrug it off and don't die right there, because it's going to take a death. If He's pricked our heart about something, it's probably going to take a little bit of death, isn't it, for us to be able to produce fruit in that way, in that area. I want to encourage us to listen. Children, listen for the voice of God in this meeting. Now, if we're looking for a thundering, it probably won't happen that way for us. But if we're listening for the call of the Spirit upon our heart and life, we'll probably get that. If we're listening for that and God begins to speak to us, and He begins to speak to us however it is, it may simply be that I just demand my way. It's got to be my way. It's going to be my way. You know what? If God speaks to us and shines light on us, and we yield to that, and we die to ourselves, do you know the fruit that comes out of decisions like that? You know, it might, there's a lot of things it can be. But I want to encourage us that the same thing, Jesus used this illustration Himself about the wheat. But you know, I was just thinking about different things. That you plant a seed, and you know, a tomato, there might be from under 20 to over 50 seeds in a single tomato. And how many tomatoes on one plant? That's what Jesus was saying here. When we allow God to work in our life and we allow the seed of His Word to be planted in our heart and we die to ourselves, folks, I want to tell you, there's not only a death that we die to the Lord to take His way, but there's deaths all along the way that we take His way over our way. That's a death. That's letting ourself, our form, die to take His. Now, are we just dying to be extinguished? No. I will tell you, what we find is that the Lord wants to take our death and He wants to increase that many, many fold. Did you know that a large mature oak tree, from what I read, and I saw it several places, I don't know if it was all copied or not, it said a large mature oak tree, how many acorns in 1 year can it produce? Anybody know? A lot. They have these years they call mast years. Every 2 to 5 years, and I didn't know this, an oak every 2 to 5 years has a big year. They call it a mast year. A large mature oak can produce 10,000 acorns in that year. And it covers the ground more than anybody, more than can be eaten by the animals and all that. There's plenty left, they say. And then it goes back to its cycle. 10,000 acorns in a single year. And that one oak tree was born of one acorn. And it has a whole lifespan to live. How much fruit is that? If we could have 1% of that, we'd feel pretty good, wouldn't we? If our life could just be 1% of that kind of figures. Well, you know what? I really believe the Lord wants to take our life, and He wants to talk to you and me, and He wants to reason with us, and He wants to call us close, and He wants to begin to work in ways in our life that really produce fruit. It produces fruit in our home first. And we find that's the place where we're closest with someone else. That's the place. And the Lord wants us to produce fruit there. And He wants us to learn to be really happy there. And He wants us to grow and prosper in that place. And He wants that place to become a sanctuary to us. And so we work at that. We die to ourselves in ways. We allow the Lord to work with us in the situations He places us in. He puts us in a job And that's the place God wants us and has us. And then we have to deal with somebody or something. Do you know that the Lord is calling for a death on our part? For us to show forth the gospel in that place. And when we do, the grace of God, the grace of God that worked through Jesus and has worked ever since His death, begins to work in us in a whole new way. A whole new place. It's another death. It's another place. And the Lord wants to work in our lives like that today. I'm persuaded that we sell Him so short. And one other I looked up, a cattail. You know how many seeds is in a cattail? There can be well over 200,000 seeds in one cattail. In one cattail. And each one of those seeds is capable of growing another cattail. Do you know this morning, we sell the Lord short. When He pricks us and we don't listen. When He pricks us and we go on. Or we blame it on something. Or whatever. That's often the case of people, isn't it? We're prone to it. We've got to watch it. We blame it on something or somebody. Or some circumstance. And the Lord is saying, I want you to die. I want you to give up the form of who you are. I want to talk to you because I have unbelievable amounts of seed that I want to come out of your life. I have the kind of love and strength from God that I want to shower it. I want to throw those seeds over on all those people that you have in your circle of life. This morning, let's let the Lord talk to us. I believe the scripture tells us here one place that was John the 15th chapter. It's just over a chapter or two. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, 15:8, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Do you know this morning the Lord wants our life to not be alone. To not be just who we are. This is who I am. This is just who I am. I can't be. Folks, yes we can. Yes. If we die to the Lord. If we die to our form and we take His way. We might be surprised at what God might do in our life. But we have to give it to God. And be willing to give up our way and our thought. Every plant is different. You know, different plants have different seeds. They're different in they're such a wonderful variety. And I'm amazed at how people are the same way. It's a wonderful variety of people. And what I am so short in, I find others just love. They love that part. And so it's good for me to know them because it helps me out too. Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to produce fruit in the way that He wants us to produce fruit. And He wants us to produce much fruit. Now we were reading there in John 12. The 26th verse says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." You know, the Lord's going to glorify His name through our life if we'll follow the Lord. If we'll follow His prickings through the Spirit of the Lord, He'll take us places we never thought we would go. We never thought of going to begin with. But God wants to do that in our life. The only thing that will stop Him is if we say no. If we say, "I can't. I just can't. Or I won't. Or it's just my right." Or whatever it is, God wants to work with us and take us places. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." That's about all you got. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, John, the 4th chapter, and the 35th verse, he says, "Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. This is what you say. 4 months, and then harvest comes. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Now, maybe we just think of fruit as the fruits of the Spirit. But folks, the Lord has some work. He has some reaping. He has some gathering for us to do unto life eternal. And the Lord wants to work in our lives like that. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And you know what? It didn't say anything about the one that waters and the one that weeds and all of those things that go on with this. You know, that's all where we're a part of this thing, aren't we? And the Lord wants to take our life and plant us. And he wants to use it in whatever way he wants to use it. I don't know what that is for you, but I will tell you, He wants to use our lives. He wants to bless our lives. And so when he begins to talk to our hearts, this is not something we go out and decide we're going to do. It's something God does through us. And so when he speaks, if the Lord speaks to you in this meeting, and I'm persuaded he's going to try, let's hear him. And let's say yes. And let's don't bring up 1,000 reasons. Why not? Because if we do, we can do that. He's given us that privilege. But we will abide alone. We will have who we are and what we have, perhaps, if God continues to give it to us. And that's all we'll have. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. I'm interested in that this morning. I love to see that. So he says here, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to sow, reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Do you know the Lord wants to send? He wants to send us. Now, if we're just doing things because, oh, I think I better do something. I think I better. Well, you know, I think we better ask the Lord. Lord, I think I probably do need to be doing something. But you know, the Lord puts in our heart something that compels us to do those things that he wants us to do. And he puts a call upon our heart. And he puts a longing within us to do all the will of God. And we begin to seek him. Lord, let me do all your will. Can we say that? I can remember when that was a scary thing to say. I was actually scared to say it. What would the Lord call me to do? But you know what? I want to say it all the more. Lord, please have all your way. Have all your will. Folks, when we die to ourselves, we aren't the losers. We aren't the losers. Be it even a physical death, we aren't the losers this morning. If ye then be risen with Christ, we know that one, Colossians 3 and 1 to 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, what are we seeking this morning? What is our life about? And what are we about? And what are we looking for? And what's our thoughts all about? Is it all about ourselves? All about what we want? All about our comforts? All about all those things? Or is it all about glorifying God? The Lord wants to put within our heart a voice that says, glorify thy name. That's what he wants to put in our heart. He wants us to cry out, Abba, Father, Lord, work in my life. Is it possible that God would work in our life? Oh, I think it is. I believe it is. Herein is my Father glorified. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, John 15, Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, the Lord has a way of answering prayers of His people. When we went to the wedding, Anthony's wedding last weekend, and I saw how God heard the voice of God's people. Do you know His name was glorified that day? Do you know when I saw how that Anthony had carefully said, I want you to pray, please pray, that it won't be too hot and that it won't rain during the wedding. And do you know, here we were sitting there and God plants a rain just a little ways off and blows the cool air on us. That was a miracle. I saw a miracle that day and God's name was glorified. Do you know that He says, if my words abide in you, if ye abide in me and my words abide in me, you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And so this morning, I just challenge us. I know sometimes the Lord may let it rain. Maybe we need the rain more than we need what we think we need at times. But you know, let's listen for the Lord speaking to us. Don't we know there's a lot He wants to do in our life? Don't we know in every acorn is the promise of life? And in every Christian is that same thing. And if we will allow God to plant us and allow Him to have His way, I am persuaded He not only made the plan for the acorns and the corn and all those things, He made the plan for you and for me as well. We don't know the fruit that God may bring in our life. We don't know the changing of our understandings that He will give us until we say yes to the dealings that He gives us, all of them. When He speaks to us, we say yes. And then it opens the next door for God to speak more. And many times we dwell in the shadows, in the shallows, wishing for better understanding of the Lord. And yet, His dealings are, come closer to me. I want you to give up your way and take mine. And when we do that, it opens the next door. Until the Lord is able to work in our lives like He really wants to. We don't know the fruit that the Lord wants to bring in our life. And I'm persuaded that we don't know what we've missed when we don't. I'm persuaded that God, that does all things well, has you and me in mind too. And we don't know, and we may never know what we missed, and probably won't ever know, if we keep our life and we love our life and we cherish our life. But when we give it to God, folks, the same God that made that acorn and made those cattails and all those seeds and that has that for us too. And we will never know what could have been, what would have been the spiritual man or woman that God wanted to make, the blessing that God wanted to bring about in our little circle that we thought was impossible and we had to fend for ourselves and defy all the powers and everything. And God all the time was saying, I want you to submit to me in this. I want you to do it my way. I want you to take my way. I want to talk to you. And so we die to ourselves and we take His way, and then opens up another door and God wants to work further until we don't know what all He will do in our lives. The Lord bless each one of us. And as we go to this camp meeting, let's just throw open the door. Let's go praying, Lord. would you deal with me? That's what I want him to do for me. Would you speak to me? Would you take me a step deeper than I am right now? Y'all pray for me.